Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Evaluate your team for your success. Remember, I'm a very dentist-centric person. That doesn't mean that we have to be self-centered, but it does mean that at some point in time, since it's your name on the door, it's your career, if you're an associate, it's your career path, you gotta focus on what's best for you. And then once you learn what's best for you, being a good leader allows you to lead and cultivate and uplift those around you to help achieve your goal. That's about helping getting people to join in on your mission. We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Dentistry Made Simple. I'm your host, Tarun Agrawal, better known as T-Bone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is one and a half people this week, Meredith Cooper-Jones. Hey, have you ever sat down and kind of thought about your team, and are they getting there to help you go for success? And are they driving the same boat in the same direction as you to help you get your success? On this week's episode, we're going to really sit down and kind of dive through evaluating your team for your own success. Now, before we get into this week's episode, I'm going to turn over to Meredith and let her talk to you about some different reviews and different things we have going on here at 3D Dentists.
Hi, everyone. We are excited to have you back for
another week. How pregnant are you today, Meredith?
She's as big as a, I don't know, I got to look at the fruit, at 24 weeks, but I think it's like a papaya or a banana. But
it looks like a very large
watermelon. Yeah. Well, let's get started in today's episode. I do have a new review. So if you have not left us a review on Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate it. This one is from The Unlimited Dentist. It says, T-Bone is even more handsome. I feel like that should ding back to you in your princess face. My favorite business and clinical podcast. So
there's no other business and clinical podcast.
There's a few. Dental podcast. And this is from The Unlimited Dentist. So thank you for that review. Well, I know you guys have heard a bunch of things coming up. We have some exciting stuff coming for 2023. We invite you all to join us at our first annual 3D Growth Summit.
Yeah, May 4th
and 5th. Do you
want
to talk a little bit about that in Nashville?
Well, yeah, you know, I'll keep it short and brief this week. Basically, here's the deal. You know, back in 2003, I co-founded the Dental Town Meeting, and it was for a community of people in the Dental Town, the townies. I did that along with Samir. And the beauty of that meeting was is that we had complete control over making it all about the attendee dentist. And we had minimal interaction or pressures from companies. And, you know, it wasn't this whole thing that meetings have become where it's just a big sales pitch. And we really want to kind of get back to that. For me, I want to get back to that. So our 3D Growth Summit is really about helping you grow your practice, leveraging technology, leveraging clinical communication, leveraging your team to help you grow your practice and to give you a message around growth of your practice without having a completely commercial type of thing. Now, of course, we can't make our practices grow without products and techniques and different things like that, but Our promise is to make it a great event that's fun for you, your team, to help be focused around the message of growing your practice. Yeah, that's kind of the deal there. So it's 3 days. 2 days are open to the public, Thursday and Friday. Wednesday is open to our masterminders. So we'll do a private event at Dr. Sully's office on Wednesday. And then the general program will be Thursday and Friday in Nashville, Tennessee, right in downtown on Broadway. So we're excited for that.
It'll be a lot of fun. Well, let's get into today's episode on evaluating your team for your success. And I think we emphasize your success because that's different for everyone, right?
Yeah, but not just that. I think sometimes what happens is we forget whose name's on the door. When your name is on the door, it's really got to be about you. It doesn't need to be about me or what I define success as or what somebody on social media defines success as or what some consultant is telling you what success is. And success changes over time. For me, early in my career, success was making money.
Right.
Now, success is about time and getting time to spend time on things that are more important to me. And then maybe at some point in time, it'll be more about it's kind of starting to become more about satisfaction as well and enjoying what I'm doing in dentistry.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is getting clear on what success is to you, because I think a lot of time people are like, well, I just want to be successful, but
yeah, or they say more.
Yes.
I want to do more money, or I want to do more implants.
This, yes.
You know, it's got to be, to me, the defining what's successful to you is about, it's really about deciding what you want, recognizing that you're, you know, you may be at a different stage in your life, and then being very specific with the measurable there. So for example, hey, I want to do one more implant per month, or hey, this year I want to add XYZ to my practice, and not just add it, but do this many of XYZ. But for today's example, I kind of want to talk about something that's a little bit broader. As much as I said, you got to be specific, but I want to talk about being a little bit broader here. And that is, hey, I want to take control of my schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see less patients per day. I want to not feel like I'm running around. I don't want to feel like I've got to add another column to take care of all these patients that I have. And the reason I picked that one is I believe the schedule for 95% of the dentists is really what holds them back from achieving their long-term success or short-term success or leveling up to that next step is really about getting control of the schedule.
Yeah, I agree. And from some of our masterminders in the past that we've had, that success to them would be working more to make more money, actually working the hours, working less, maybe just working the hours they're scheduled to work.
And not having to come in early, not working through lunch
and working late. All of these things that define what their success is all kind of relate back to controlling the schedule. So when you say it's kind of broad, it's just because it covers quite a few of the subjects that people use when they consider success.
Hey, you know, the other point of the schedule, and I really do feel like a broken record so many, every week almost, is people say, I want to do more implants, or I want to do more XYZ, or I want to do more cosmetic cases. And the truth is for many of us, it's the schedule that holds
being
us back. It's being,
right.
You know, or having people say, well, I'll just work them in. And that's how less than ideal results happen. That's how we start training our team members that it's okay to squeeze things in. And next thing you know, you're squeezing in XYZ.
And you're irritated with the treatment that's been scheduled for 3 months.
Yeah.
That is what you think is what making you run behind. But really, it's what you squeezed in, even though that's what you wanted.
Or you're not focused and able to do the best job possible. And you get, you know, maybe it's a good result, but not the great result that you're hoping for. And so much of what we do isn't just about money and the type of work we do. We also want to be proud of the work we do. Not just patient proud, but internally proud that, hey, I'm doing this type of dentistry and I'm doing it at a high level and I'm getting it done efficiently and predictably. And so that's kind of important.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about controlling the schedule and figuring out how you're going to get there and how you're going to reach that success of controlling the schedule.
For this, again, I'm very dentist specific here on this particular part of it. And let's figure out how you're going to get there. And to me, how we're going to get there is always kind of evaluating ourselves from three different perspectives. Step one is our clinical skills. Do we have the clinical skills that are going to get us or help us drive that success? Part two is going to be, do we have the soft skills or does my team have the soft skills that's going to help us basically get more people to say yes in this particular situation? And then number three is, do we have the infrastructure or the processes in place to kind of get there? As it relates to the schedule, we'll say that the clinical skills are there. The truth is the average person listening to this podcast
take CE. They have lots of clinical skills. You know, they know, you know, most of them, half of them probably do implants or know how to do implants. Maybe a little less than half do sleep apnea. But we all know cosmetic dentistry. We all know, you know, advanced dentistry. We all know, you know, most of us probably do root canals, take out teeth. We have the clinical skills, but it's the other two things, the soft skills and the infrastructure that are holding us back. And when it comes to the soft skills, really, that's really about your chairside manners when you're talking to patients and the words that we use and being influential in the words we use versus educating our patients. And when it comes to infrastructure, I really think infrastructure is an area that dentists are overlooking or not thinking about properly. Most people think of infrastructures. Do I have enough operatories? Do I have enough equipment? And I make the assumption that we have those things. And to me, it's really about how are we leveraging the infrastructure. So for me, controlling your schedule is, hey, am I scheduling properly to utilize my, in my case, CEREC machine, right? So do we have enough milling units? When we have the milling units going, is my team able to do, take it from the, once I'm done prepping and take the digital impression and mark the margin, can they design, can they send it to the milling unit? Can they adjust the zirconia, the Emax, whatever you're using? Can they stain and glaze it? Can they get it so that you're free? And during that free time, you can go do consults, hygiene checks, or maybe in your situation, more dentistry or in another, on another patient. You know, are we leveraging the infrastructure to do those things? So, you know, we got to go through and write that down. So for me in this situation, in our example this week, is the clinical skills are there. We've got the clinical skills. We need some work on the soft skills.
I would say that the soft skills out of these three are probably the hardest for most people. Infrastructure, I think, is like the systems that we put in place, and those can all be taught and usually trained by other team members, and they're usually how the
or the manufacturers, you know, their
reps,
training programs,
But the soft skills, I mean, from what I've seen, dentists and hygienists both in school are taught to educate.
Yeah.
And they just
use technical words, super technical words.
Yeah, and they over-educate. And I just, it brings me back to that time we did an FA and we told the patient they needed resins.
Yeah.
And you brought it up on like the projector and you were like, I need everyone to Google a resin. And it was like tree sap. It was like, great. So with these patients who have no dental knowledge are going home and saying, I need a number 14 tree sap.
Yeah.
We're educating, but we're educating to people who have no knowledge, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to sell. That's actually probably pushing them away because
it's confusing them.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got to find out how you're going to go get there. Look in those three specific things and then write down. The soft skills in this case is, I think the soft skills, the first step to controlling your schedule, the soft skill is probably a couple of things. One is learn to actually use less technical words to your patients. In fact, one of the things I often talk about is that we should be able to actually have our patients say yes to doing the dentistry they need and want to have done without actually telling them what we're going to technically do to them, because it should be about trust. But then the other soft skill to controlling your schedule, I think the easiest soft skill that you can put into place is just asking your patients if they'd like to do all their dentistry done at one time. If you kind of just kind of implement that right there, you'll start getting patients that want to do more dentistry all at once, and that'll start forcing you to see less patients, and that'll kind of start taking away some of the chaos from your practice. Now, in terms of infrastructure, to me, the infrastructures are going to be, I'm a big believer in single visit crowns. I'm a big believer in sedation. I'm a big believer in, do I have an apex locator to make endo easier? Do I have PRF to make bone handling easier? All of these things. That's what I mean by infrastructure, to start delivering the type of care that we need to control the schedule. Because part of the schedule is getting, when you have to start bringing people back multiple times for a crown, for example, a prep date and a seat date, that's just more and more chaos. And then, you know, we train our team members that we've got to be productive. And then that means that seat visit is worth nothing, right? There's no credit for that visit. So then they start counting it and putting it over the side. And that's kind of how the chaos, my experience has been, how the chaos kind of starts.
Yeah. Well, I think the infrastructure can also relate to the people, the people in the office. That's where you can kind of look internally to see who's going to help get you to this success. Yeah. Before you start, I mean, we have a great example of hiring from outside that bit you and backfired on the whole team, right?
Yeah.
So look first to see who that you think can step up and lead within your team.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah, and so when you look internally to see who is going to help you get there, I'm kind of thinking of two things here. I'm thinking of how we delegate the different things. In the previous step, we kind of talked about figuring out how you're going to get there. You know, the clinical skills, you got to delegate that to the dentist. So there's no one else to delegate that to. The soft skills, to me, that's all about role playing and practicing. To me, I would look at it, how am I going to delegate that to what team member is going to make sure that we have time scheduled every month to do role playing and coaching? What team member is going to make sure that we have two or three cases that we can role play through, or two or three types of cases? Because ultimately, we can't leave it all on the dentist, because, I mean, we can, but then there's a ceiling to it. There's a limit.
Yeah.
And then
is too full.
Yeah, and then that's what kind of creates some of this issue to begin with, right? So you got to learn how to delegate. And another area I really want to talk about with looking internally is understand the strengths and weaknesses of your team. Now, a lot of people will talk about to start focusing on the weaknesses of team members and trying to bring them up. And I've learned in 23 years of doing this, a few years back, you stop focusing on the weaknesses and start really diving into people's strengths. You know, when somebody's weak in a certain area, you know, you try to bring them up to a basic baseline level. And at that point, you got to decide if they're going to fit the team or not fit the team. But you really want to focus in on the strengths and make their strengths super strengths. And stop trying to bring people up in areas that they're not going to be.
As long as they fit the culture.
Yeah, of course. At some point, there's got to be a baseline, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be a baseline there. You want to bring their weaknesses to a baseline. At some point, you got to stop trying to make somebody something they're not. So look internally. Who's going to help implement the steps in clinical skills and soft skills and in infrastructure? Who are you delegating those specific tasks to with that outline of the time that it needs to be done by? And what are the strengths and weaknesses in different team members? Looking at your team differently. Just because they say hygienist doesn't mean they should only be a hygienist. Just because they say assistant doesn't mean they always have to be chairside. Or just because they say front office doesn't mean that they can't take digital impressions or x-rays and stuff like that. You got to start looking at people's strengths and weaknesses. And sometimes you got to reshuffle people around a little bit in your team members as well.
I like the reshuffling.
Yeah. We don't want to get rid of people.
Yeah, no.
At some point you have to, unfortunately.
I think a lot of times people have done this and they're like, I think of a time when I went to someone's CE and he said, you know, she was a terrible assistant, but she's great at social media. Yeah. These are things I didn't know because I was wasting her just sitting chairside with an associate. So I never really got to know her. I didn't know how great her personality was, how great she is interacting with people. And we've trained her to be a treatment coordinator.
Right.
And she's much better, or something like that. So it's sometimes we don't really get to know someone and we just let them go. But
well, we assume
not in
a
the
title.
Right position.
You know,
right.
Our people themselves assume, oh, I'm an assistant. This is what I got
to
do.
What I need to do.
You know, I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now that kind of goes into the next thing of figuring out who's holding you back.
Yeah.
If you can't reshuffle them.
Yes.
So some people can be reshuffled. Some people are rigid and cannot be.
Yeah. You know, we often think of kind of in your tone there even a little bit, we think of figuring out if someone's holding you back as who do we have to get rid of?
Right.
And it's not always that. Sometimes in my example, I come back to we want to take control of our schedule. And this is one of the big things we do in Mastermind One is we help people take control of their schedule because we know, again, broken record, we know that once we get control of the schedule, then we can start accelerating growth. You got to slow down to speed up. What we found oftentimes is there's a super nice person at the front that has a hard time telling people they can't be seen when they want to be seen, or they've always been that long, in our practice it was the long-time patients that have always made exceptions for and accommodations for. Right. And so sometimes it's not that they have the wrong people or you need to get rid of people.
That's really just a hard thing in general. Nobody wants to be the person that has to tell people no all the time. Yeah. You know, and no one in the back ever has to tell people no. They get to say to the patients, oh, we'll take you up front and they'll take care of it. And they're just push. Everyone kind of just pushes it all off on you, and then it all crumbles down when you have to constantly say no. So I think it's not always a nice person who doesn't want to say no. It's just you're constantly the one who has to say,
and so that's,
we can't do this.
And that what you just did was figuring out.
You have to be the strongest person.
Yeah, if someone's holding you back. Because sometimes it's not that the person doesn't want to say no. It could be because it's like me as a parent that always has to be the bad guy, right?
It's usually the dad.
So, you know, it's like, I don't want to be the bad guy, but I'm always put in the position to be a bad guy. Sometimes the same thing. That's my point is you got to figure out at some point, the reason I just choose the scheduling is because I can tell you for most offices, by and large, there's one person that doesn't put anybody on the schedule, and that person is named dentist. Okay.
I don't know. I've seen some. We finally had to tell you, stop telling people when we.
By and large.
Yes.
Yes, I may tell you when to put somebody, but I don't actually put them on the schedule.
Right.
Typically, control of the schedule often falls on someone scheduling them. In other words, you got to find out what process is broken or what person is broken or something like that. And I used to, like, let's use Megan as an example.
Yeah.
Megan used to want to always accommodate patients, correct?
Yes.
And at some point, I told Megan that, listen, I'm just not going to stay late anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Just like that, she stopped staying late. Now she'll make me see two people at once, but at least she's not making me stay late.
But she was taught that you wanted to get people.
Oh, yeah, because early in my career, I just wanted to say yes to everybody.
Right. So that's kind of how she was taught and how she was trained by you. So that's what she thought was right. So then when you said, now if I stay late, the whole team has to stay late. Suddenly
the hill.
Nobody
wants
late.
To stay late. Yeah.
We talk about the scheduler a lot as being like the person that kind of holds you back.
And the scheduler isn't one, for the most part, it isn't one person.
No, it's definitely not. Let's talk about instead of what people you need to fire, maybe what people you need to hire or what hires you need to
hire. Yeah, because oftentimes, and when I say hires, I want to be clear, because I know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need any more team members.
Right.
I don't have the space for more team members. I don't have the money for more team members. And again,
hiring isn't necessarily another person.
No, hiring is the reshuffling that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, look, when we talk about hires you need to make, first, I always look, what reshuffling do I need to do?
Yeah.
Okay, I always look at how do I need to reshuffle the people around me to better put them in a better spot? Because, you know, when I hired you 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
You know,
in the office, I worked there for 5 years, and I think I was rehired four times.
Four times, right? In different positions.
We had a talk, and it was, let's try this.
Right. Sometimes we have to reshuffle, because when you see a strength or a weakness in somebody, it's not always just strengths, Meredith.
Yeah. You're terrible at cleaning instruments. We should move you.
You should no longer be
Thank
a sterilization.
You. Thank you. I was getting tired of cleaning up after people. I appreciate it.
So I always look at reshuffling there, okay? Then the second thing I'm going to look at is, am I lacking a position? And I want to come back to that for a second.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, lastly, I want to look, do we need to change team members?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I remember Lori, right, when she was with 3D. I remember, like, within the first week of working with me, she said, it's not who you hire, it's how quick you fire. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, I just hired you.
Yeah.
Why would you tell me that? But that stuck with me, and I'm sure she heard it from somebody else. And we hold on too long. Because I want to keep the message positive. Let's not talk about changing people. Let's focus on reshuffling. And then I want to talk very specifically about a lack of a position.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, look, when you're starting to move your practice towards a more controlled form of chaos, okay, it's all chaotic, but it's a controlled form.
Chaos.
And you're starting to move towards where you're doing more dentistry on less people, whether that's, you know, just general dentistry, or especially when you start doing more expensive dentistry on people. I think a position that's truly missing in lots of offices is the treatment coordinator. ideally, that should be a dedicated treatment coordinator. And the first step is you got to assign somebody to be a part-time treatment coordinator, kind of a go-to person that handles the financial arrangements, that handles multi-visit cases and things like that. And I think, especially with our mastermind group, almost every one of them, we've talked about, hey, we need to install a treatment coordinator into your practice. Yeah. Almost every one of them, 90% of them, have looked back and said, wow, that's really helped accelerate the practice. So I think, you know, especially if you're trying to take control of your schedule, having a treatment coordinator, patient advocate, whatever fancy word you want to use, is going to be a position that most offices are lacking. I don't necessarily think you have to rehire somebody or hire a new person for that. It may be a matter of reshuffling somebody into that position. And I think that would be a great episode for us to do at some point. I think we've done it at some point in time, but you know, maybe re-talk about a treatment coordinator, or even better, maybe if we could get one of the masterminders that's added one in since they've worked with us and kind of walk through that process and their thoughts. I think that would be even more valuable for our listeners to not to hear from me, who's been doing that for 20 years, but listen to somebody who's just gone through it. Yeah. Although I just did go through getting replacing a treatment coordinator about a year or so ago. So evaluate your team for your success. Remember, I'm a very dentist-centric person. That doesn't mean that we have to be self-centered, but it does mean that at some point in time, since it's your name on the door, it's your career, if your associate's your career path, you gotta focus on what's best for you. And then once you learn what's best for you, being a good leader allows you to lead and cultivate and uplift those around you to help achieve your goal. That's about helping getting people to join in on your mission, or how to kind of work in your cause. And that's really what leadership is all about. Thank you guys for listening in this week. Put May 4th and 5th on your calendar. And if there's anything else we can do for you at 3D Dentist, whether it's business training to help you optimize and take control of your practice, or whether it's clinical training to help kind of start adding more procedures to your repertoire, please let us know how we can help. Just reach out to Meredith, and we'd love to have you, and my kids would love your support in all of that. Thank you so much.